Good morning. Glad to be in the house of God this morning. Praise God. I mean, if I could just get a little bit more volume up here on the platform, brother, that'd be awesome. Amen. Had a great time this weekend with the men. All the men say, whoop. How many men were there yesterday? Raise your hands. Got a couple. I guess the rest of them are too tired from yesterday. Gonna have to have a talk with them. Amen. We had a great time, though, and God. See, fellowship is something very important. You can have friends outside in the world, and you can have friends in the church. The problem is friends outside in the world, most of the time, all they're going to talk about is the negative, the problems they had, the things going on in their job. Not really something to build you up. But when you have fellowship with people of God, with people in the church, it's something that builds you up. Makes you a little bit stronger, encourages you a little bit. The stories they tell are not stories of discouragement and, oh man, just won't believe what I went through this week. Instead, no, hey, let me tell you what happened to me this week. And it's more of a testimony to build you up and help you. Amen. So I'm just still thriving off that yesterday. I want to say thank you to the men that came. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in the announcements today, but thank you for participating yesterday. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 3-6. I actually spoke a little bit about this scripture last Sunday when I preached, but I am not going on the same thing, so don't worry. I'm not going to repeat everything I said. I'm going a different direction here. Jeremiah chapter 18, 3-6 says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." So I want to talk a little bit on the subject, the condition of your vessel, the condition of your vessel. You may be seated. When you think about vessels, vessels come in all shapes and sizes. Anything pretty much can be a vessel when you look at it in the concept of it has to contain something, to hold something. So you got a couple vessels. This is a vase or a vase, depending on which way you want to say it. Just different vessels, shapes and sizes, different materials of what you can use. Got a plastic one, glass one. But anything can be considered a vessel or a container if it contains something and it holds something. And so they come in all shapes, just like people. We come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all colors. They come in all different varieties. But one thing we always want from a vessel that we are using is that we want the vessel to be clean. Amen? A dirty vessel serves no purpose because it is dirty. You want to have a clean vessel, something that you can use that's not going to be contaminated when you use it. So when looking at us as a vessel or a container, this body, we first need to examine ourselves to see if our vessel is in fact clean. And that could be the first point of my lesson this morning is my vessel clean? Is your vessel clean? Is it clean this morning? I remember grabbing a glass of milk one day, and it was something I remember very detailed because it was traumatizing to me at the time. But I love a glass of milk before bedtime. Anybody else? It helps me sleep. It's just nothing better than a cold glass of milk sometimes in my book. And so I walk into the kitchen. I'm excited. I'm amped up because I'm fixing to get this awesome glass of cold milk. And I keep my refrigerator really cold, higher than what it should be because I like it really cold. And so I reach into the dishwasher where the clean dishes are, knowing that it's clean because I ran the dishwasher. And I grab this nice glass. I'm like, oh, it's about the right size. It's not too small. It's not too big. It's the perfect size for a glass of milk that I want. And so I'm excited. And so I grab the milk out of the refrigerator. I poured this glass full of milk, and I'm just excited. I'm telling you, people, I was excited. And so I go, and I pick up that glass, and I put it to my lips to drink, and you know, as you do that, you can see into the glass. And so as I put that to my lips, and I looked in this nice, white, clean, cold milk that I can see inside the glass was clumps of black stuff. And immediately, before I could even get it in my mouth, I'm just like, ah. Just traumatizing. I was expecting milk, just clean milk out of this clean glass, but it wasn't clean. And so I started to look at it, what was going on, because I know the milk didn't have black stuff in it because I could see it. The milk jug is clear. So obviously it had to be something in the glass. But my problem was I just ran a dishwasher and I knew it was clean. So I examined a little bit closer and realized their dishwasher didn't work. So this glass had all kinds of black stuff in it that was left over, and I learned a valuable lesson. Even if you think it's clean, look first. But it brought the example to my mind that you want a clean vessel. You want a clean vessel. No matter what you do, no matter what you have, if your vessel is not clean, it's going to contaminate everything else in it. So you have to have a clean vessel. You don't want to be traumatized like I was. I never drink a glass of milk now without ever looking. I'm traumatized. Pray for me. I need it. So we want a clean vessel. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "What communion have light with darkness?" You can't be bad and good all at the same time. You just can't. You can put on a facade that you're good, but really you're still bad if your inside is not clean. Amen? You can't be good and bad at the same time. You can't be living in sin Monday through Sunday and come to church on Sunday being a sanctified, holy person. It just doesn't work that way. You got to live it or you don't live it. You got to be clean or you're not clean. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16 through 17 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." If you've been raised in Pentecost, or you've been in Pentecost for any length of time, you've heard this scripture many, many times. Amen? It's been preached, it's been taught, you've been beat over the head with it maybe, a little bit too much maybe sometimes, but come out from among them and be separate. And the scripture goes into so many areas dealing with spiritualness and holiness, and I like to sum it up like this. If vessel A, which is the person in the world living in the world, and vessel B, the Christian that is in church living for God, are sitting next to each other on a park bench. You're shoulder to shoulder, next, just right next to each other. Does vessel B, the church person, look like vessel A, the worldly person? It's a very simple concept. Or is there a distinct difference between the two? When you look at vessel A, the world, and vessel B, the church, do they look the same? Or do they look different? Can you tell a difference in their life? Let me break it down a little bit further. When you walk outside your house where all the world can see you, do you look just like every other person in the world? Or do you stand out? Do you stand out in great difference as a blood-bought saint of God? As a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, sanctified? Amen? The way you act, not just inside your house, but on your job, while you're grocery shopping. I've seen people lose their Holy Ghost grocery shopping. Walking down the aisle with their buggy and someone walks out in front of them and just stops. It happens. But how we act, how we talk, the things you say when you hit your finger with that hammer, is it, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, oh, God, help me," or is it something else that you really didn't want to come out? The way you walk, do you walk around all prideful, head up? People can look at you, "Oh, tell, man, he's got something wrong with him. He just, look at him, the way he's walking." The way you dress, amen, that's the big one. It's men and women. It's a little bit harder for women, but it's men too. When you're sitting on the park bench next to that person in the world, can they look at you and say, "Hey, that's the Christian there"? When you had that church car wash, we've all seen this one. Does it look like a church car wash, or does it look like just a worldly car wash? I'm just being real. We've all seen it. So does vessel A look like vessel B? There has to be a distinct difference in the way you live your life, in the way you present yourself. If we are going to call ourselves Christians, then we better stand out in the middle of a crowd as a Christian. How else are we going to let our light shine? Nobody is going to feel the need or feel the unction to come to you with a prayer request or with a need in their family if they don't even know that you've been blessed by God and living for God or even a Christian. Think about that. On your job right now, can you truly, honestly say that everybody that you work next to knows that you are a Christian? Not just, oh, I go to church. No, but no, they know that you are a Holy Ghost filled, that you are a child of God. Do they know it? Without a doubt. Think about it. Amen? Can't look like the world. See, God is looking for some people to use in this day and time. And I've mentioned this a couple times teaching last year. God wants men and women who are available. They are available to let Him use them for His purpose. And the key there is available. And too many times we don't make ourselves available. We make ourselves too busy. We make ourselves too strung out with other things that we're dealing with, that we don't have time for the work of God or for the plan of God. God's like, well, I really want you to go over here and witness to this person today. I ain't got time. I got to work. Got to make money. Or maybe, well, I already plan to do this to my family. You know, I'm going to do this. I know I had family day yesterday, but God, I really want to do it today too. I ain't got time for this today. You got to make yourself available. God can present us with opportunity after opportunity, but if we never take that step in faith to work in that opportunity, we're never going to see God move in our life. God wants, we've all said it, I've said it in my life, I want to see the glory of God in my life. I want to see the power of God. I don't want to be the person standing on the outside saying, oh, I saw that person be healed. I saw that person, you know, get deliverance. I want to be the one saying, God, use me as the vessel to lay hands on them to see your power happen. I want to be that vessel. But I have to make myself available in order for that to happen. I just can't walk in and it's like, okay, well, it just happened. No, I have to take that step and put myself in that position. Amen? He wants somebody who will say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that's a major one. I love that about the Lord's Prayer, because a lot of times we say, oh, God, I want your will to be done. But do we really? Do we really want God's will to be done? So we have to really pray that and understand that we want God's will as in heaven. Whatever God's plan is in heaven, what He has designed, His purpose for our life, that's what we need to pray into our life. God, this is what I would like to happen. Yes, I would love to do this. I would love to do that. But God, if it's not your will, I want it to go away because I want your will to come down. See, once you can get your life lined up with the will of God, it's amazing what can happen. You ain't got to worry about your job. You ain't got to worry about your bills. You ain't got to worry about your family because you're in God's will and God takes care of you. I think it was Wayne Huntley that said it best. He says, when I learned that if I make God's business my business, God will make my business His business. And that's so true. Whenever you think about God's business, His plan, His purpose, and you're living your life in a way of saying, God, I want your will to be done, then God looks and says, all right, now let's work in your life and let's see what the things of your heart is, and He can bless you with your heart's desire. See, when looking through the scriptures, God has always worked through human vessels. In fact, most of the time, God works through the most unlikely vessels. And this is what's great about God, because He doesn't look for the perfect people. Because when you look at Scripture, there's no one that is perfect. Matter of fact, most of the time, everybody that God used in the Scripture, they had some major flaws in their life, major issues. Moses, he stuttered. He said, God, I don't want to go and talk to Pharaoh. I can't even talk straight. He stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. When he went out there to fight Goliath, they're like, oh, you put on the king's armor, and it's all big and bulky on him. He's like, I can't fight in this. Just another issue he had. Jacob, he was a liar. Abraham, what was his excuse? He was too old. I'm too old to deal with this, to have a child. David, again, was too young to go on the battlefield. They mocked him because he was a child. You're just here to see the fight, to see the battle. That's all you want. Trying to be mischievous. Peter was afraid of death. He didn't want to die. Lazarus was dead. That's a pretty good excuse, I guess. But God raised him. Paul, he was a murderer. One of the greatest men to write in the Bible that God used. He was a murderer. Jonah, he ran from God. Most of us have done that at some point in our life. Gideon and Thomas, they were both doubters. They doubted God, doubted His power. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. I mean, just think about that. Don't raise your hands, but how many of us at some point in our life, we've been depressed? We all have. God still used them in their depression. He can use that because they were willing vessels. They were willing to let God use them in their life. Elijah, he was just burned out. That's a big one for ministry. We get burned out really easy. You know, we give and give and give of ourselves so much to the point that we don't really get what we need. That's why ministry retreats are so important sometimes, because even ministers need to be ministered to. Even the pastor needs to go and hear someone preach to him. It happens. We're not perfect. We need God too. Sometimes a lot. But God can use anyone regardless of your flaws, regardless of your differences. We all have issues. We all have mistakes. God can still use us. He's not done with us. Amen? See, this is what I like about God. He doesn't look at our financial gain or loss. When he says, you know what, I need someone to go pray for this person to be healed, he doesn't look at our checkbook and say, you know what, you don't have over $500 in your account this week. You're probably not the person I want to use. Or when he wants someone to go and give abundantly to somebody, he doesn't look at how much you don't have in your checkbook and say, you know what, you're probably not the person. He doesn't look at that stuff because he can fix all that. He's not prejudiced or partial. He's not deaf to our cry of hurt and pain. He's not blind to our everyday need. He just needs us to be available. Available. To be an empty vessel, available to God. My second point is, are you an empty vessel? Are you an empty vessel? See, God is looking for empty vessels. God can have all the plumbing in place, and he can have the pump hooked up, but he needs us to be vessels that he can pour into. I purposely stuffed this one with paper towels because this vessel, it's a pretty vessel. It's nice and clear. It's clean. But you really can't put much inside this vessel because it's already full of stuff. It's already full of things. And so that's going to be an issue for God when he comes to pour into it and it's already full of other things. In many cases, the thing that stops a move of God is simply the lack of an empty vessel. He doesn't have an empty vessel. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. He was a man of God. And the creditor is now come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." They're going to become slaves to pay the bills that is owed. "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." She had a container that was full of oil. "Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few, yet as many as you can. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full," all the vessels that she had brought into the house, "that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed." See, the only thing in the story that stopped the flow of oil was the lack of an empty vessel. The lack of an empty vessel. See, the problem is we can come to God and we want him to bless us, to touch us, to heal us. And God is standing there trying to figure out how he can pour into our lives because we are already full. We're already full of things. Full of other things. Things we are addicted to. Bad decisions we've made that have poured into our lives. Ungodly lifestyle that we're living that has brought things into our life like idols. Anything we put of greater importance than God and his kingdom. That's things that we have filled this vessel with. We've filled it up to the brim sometimes. And so God comes to us and he's ready to bless us and to work in us and to do something in our life. And he's like, there's no room for me to pour into you. There's no room for me to do anything in your life because you're full of all this other junk. And we come to church and we stay that way. Because, I mean, in something in our life, not everything, but we're sort of a pack rat about something. We all have something that we're hung up on that we don't want to get rid of, that we like, we want to keep. But when you look at your life and from a spiritual aspect of emptying your vessel out, there's a lot of things we can clear out. Maybe it's friends. You're living for God now. Maybe there's some friends that you don't need to hang out with no more because they've proven that they're a bad influence on your life. And maybe it's not so much that they're trying to be a bad influence, but maybe you're just not strong enough yet to be around them without those addictions and feelings coming back. That's some things you need to pour out, need to get rid of. Maybe it's just some addictions that you've brought from your past and you haven't allowed God to break those yet. You need to let God break those addictions and get them out of your vessel. Maybe it's some things in your house that you need to get rid of that is just holding you back from taking that next step in the Spirit. You just need to empty that vessel out. Whatever it is, it becomes an idol. Whatever it is that you're not willing to let go of in place of God, it can become an idol that takes up room in your vessel. It's important. We all have things that we deal with that we don't want to let go of. I have things I still deal with and struggle with daily. Always asking God, God, help me deal with this. God, help me to get past these issues. Clean this vessel. Empty this vessel. Amen? Like Paul, we got to die daily. We're not perfect. We got to die daily. But we're full of all kinds of stuff that shouldn't be in our vessel. And there's no room for what God wants to put into our vessel. So we have to make sure that we clean our vessel out. See, we come to church, and I purposely, some people, there's one what I was doing this morning. I was out there at the creek, out here at this vessel, and they're like, why are you down there at that muddy creek? This really stinks. But we can have our vessel. They can be a nice, pretty green and stuff. But if your heart inside your vessel looks like that, there's going to be an issue. There's going to be an issue whenever God wants to bring His light into your vessel, to bring His Spirit into your vessel, because it's not clean. And I hope it don't stink like that. That's horrible. Didn't think about that. Do not walk down to that creek over there. It stinks. Whew. But remember our scripture, what communion have light with darkness? Light with darkness. God and the world are not going to fit into the same vessel. The cleanliness of God is not going to come into a dirty, nasty vessel. It's not going to happen. If you try to put anything inside this vessel, because of what is inside it, is going to contaminate it. Or whatever you try to put in it. That reminds me of that glass of milk. I'll tell you what. So we're full of all kinds of stuff sometimes, and God wants our vessel to be clean. So what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? See, I've seen men and women ask God and wonder why they're not being blessed. They come to this altar time and time again. God, use me. God, bless me. And God, I need you to do this in my life. And God, where are you? I don't hear you. I don't feel you. But they never clean their vessel out where God can come in. And they wonder why they're not going to the next level in God. Why they're not being spiritually driven and spiritually blessed. Because they haven't cleaned out that vessel. They refuse to let things go. And I just want to walk up there, you know, you just slap them in the back of the head. What's wrong with you? You know why. You know why you're not being blessed. I mean, do you really need us to write it on the sky? I mean, it's so obvious, but yet we're blinded to it sometimes because we have such a firm grip on it and we don't want to let it go. Amen? If we want God to move in our lives, we have to have an empty vessel, a clean vessel. My third point, know your vessel's purpose. Know your vessel's purpose. See, God is always seeking for someone that He can move through, someone that He can use. Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I found none. None. How sad would it be if God walked into this building this morning, ready to pour out His Spirit, ready to do a work in the city, a revival like we've never seen in the city of Lakeland, and He couldn't find the vessel that He could use. He couldn't find anybody that He could use to go out there and pray for somebody, to witness to somebody, to share His Word, to show the light of the gospel. How sad would that be? Amen? He's looking for someone that He can use, and He found nobody available. That's got to be hard. How that must have hurt the heart of God, not being able to find just one vessel that He could use, that He could speak through, that He could work through. See, God's purpose is not for us to fill up on His grace, His mercy, and on His Spirit. and just keep it to ourselves. That is not the purpose of God. But we want that. We want people to come into this place. We want them to get saved, baptized, washed. We want them to be free of sin and break free from their chains of addictions. But once they become free and they become a child of God, then we have to disciple them for the purpose of the kingdom, and that is to pour out into others. And that is God's purpose. God wants us to take what we have been given in our life and share it with everybody else. By the word of our testimony, that's how it happens. The word of our testimony is how we reach other people. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He's not saying, I'm going to do this. This is what he was telling the disciples and the people. Go and teach all nations. I want you to do it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Amen. He says, I want you to do it. He's like, yes, I can do it. I'm only one person, but I'm telling you, I want you to go out into the cities and spread the gospel and teach them. Teach them my word. Teach them what they need to do to be saved. And in Luke 14, 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The word compel there is to go out and convince them. It's to strongly convince them. Amen. We are to go out and we're to talk to people and we're to really convince them why they need to come to God. We're to share our testimony, share what God has done for us, and convince them that everything that they need, everything that they lack, they can find in Jesus. Amen. Not in us. We have to convince them that Jesus is the answer. That through Jesus they can get healing, that they can get deliverance, that their life can be changed through the Word of God. And that's what God wants us to do. See, God fills our vessels, and then we go and we pour out into the world, teaching them about salvation and compelling them and convincing them to change their lives. That is the plan of God that He has set forth through our lives. So the purpose of your vessel is not just to hoard all the blessings of God. Amen? Best way to look at it is this, as a concept. We've all been swimming in a lake at some point in time that was stale water. Can you remember that? You've all been around a lake and you stepped in the water and you felt that it was stale, it was nasty, it was slimy because there was no oxygen in the water, there was nothing stirring that water. It was just stagnant. It was just nothing there refreshing the water. Well, if we get all this into our vessel and we don't do anything with it and it just sits and just sits and just sits, you're going to be a stagnant, stale Christian. You're going to lose your flavor. You're going to lose your salt. You're not going to have any purpose. And you're going to find yourself once again just having to take what you have and pour it out and get refilled because it's all stale. You're not on fire like you were for God. You're not walking in victory and power like you once were in God. So that's why it's good that for us as a Christian in our life, if we want to stay blessed, if we want to stay in a position where we're feeling the power of God, we have to be constantly moving that oil, emptying out our vessel and letting God refill us, pouring out our vessel and letting God refill us over and over again, over and over again. That's how we stay excited. That joy of the Lord is what you say. We keep that joy in our life. Amen? Anybody could use some joy? I could use some more joy. I could always use some more joy. But God wants human vessels to preach the gospel to the broken, hurting world. So when God wants to move, He looks for clean and available vessels. So are you clean today? Are you truly clean today? Have you done something this week? Maybe yesterday? Maybe you said something on the way this morning on the church when someone cut you off and you needed to pray through about it? Are you clean? Is your vessel empty and ready for God to pour into? Did you come into this house with everything emptied out that shouldn't be there, with your spout open saying, God, pour into me today. Whatever you have for me, I'm ready to receive it today. See, that's why we have to come into this house and we have to be ready. Your blessing, your healing, whatever it is that you may have been praying for and wanting, today may be the day that God wants to pour into your life. But if you're not empty and you're not ready for God to pour it in, you might have missed your opportunity. I know that there are people that have missed their time for healing because they refused to raise their hands and simply say, God, I'm ready today. And I knew in the spirit, I felt it. They would have got their healing that day, but they weren't ready. They weren't empty. They were holding on to things. I know there's people that they were praying for the Holy Ghost, and they were right there. They were close to it. And we've all seen this praying at the altar of people, and you can just see in their eyes, they're still holding on to something. There's something they're not letting go of, and so they don't receive the Holy Ghost yet. They're not empty. They're not willing. They're not available. God is looking for someone that is ready and available to pour into. Amen? God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. I look at it this way. The scripture I read, Ezekiel 22 and 30, says, and I said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. I always like to look at it this way. When it says, I look for a man to stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but instead of saying, I found none, I look at it as, and he found a group of people at Grace Point on a Sunday morning that said, God, here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. Amen? Stand with me this morning. That's been my prayer. That's always my prayer, is that God can use me. I understand from a ministry point, 15, almost 20 years now of ministry, that I've been in ministry since I first taught my first Bible study and sermon behind the pulpit. It's been 20 years. Man, I feel old. But my attitude and my vision has always been the point that of understanding that someone else's salvation may be in my hands. Someone else's victory may be in my hands. And if I am not willing to take that step when God says, I want to pour you out into this person or into this situation, if I refuse to allow myself to be that vessel, it hurts to think that I might be the cause for that person not receiving their healing, maybe not receiving salvation. Lord forbid someone goes to hell because I refuse to go and talk to them and witness to them. That's my fear. My greatest fear. I don't, and any pastor's fear, is to stand before God on judgment day and have to answer for somebody's soul that you were responsible for, but you decided not to do something in their life. So my final thought today is simply this. Be a vessel that God can use in any situation, in any time. You don't know who you're going to come in contact with on your job, in your family, on the street, in the grocery store. But when that time comes in that place, I just pray, God, let me be a vessel that you can use at that moment in that time to let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.